Welcome to The Digital Brew,
a podcast about making your business more awesome online.
I'm Angela, a copywriter, here with my husband, Stu, a web designer.
It's time to pour yourself a cuppa and let's get started.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the podcast, and also welcome to a new year and a new decade. Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
2020 yeah. Vision, everyone.
I think this is going out on New Year's Eve, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be New Year.
Yeah, why on earth would you be listening to this on New Year's Eve?
Maybe someone puts it on at the just before the countdown and they're listening to our voices.
Amazing.
Wow. Such an honor. Thank you for that. So in today's episode, we'll be talking about workflow and processes with a focus on marketing, sales, and client onboarding. So if this is something that's going to be your focus for 2020, especially kicking off the new year, hopefully this will be really useful for you. We just really want to give you an insight into how we do things behind the scenes at The Digital Brew and in our own freelancing. And a lot of thought has gone into setting things up. Plus, you know, a lot of experience over the last few years in our own businesses and working directly with clients. We've sort of been able to poke around into quite a few back ends with workflow and processes. Been quite privileged. So hopefully we can save you a bit of time and effort if you're looking at reviewing your processes in the next year. Maybe we can give you an idea or two to make things that little bit quicker and easier for you and your clients.
Of course, we're just a two-person team at the moment, a copywriter and a web designer who do website copy and design packages. Plus, we also have the occasional VA help with a few things, and we also have our accountant. So we're not really running a sophisticated operation, but we do juggle multiple clients, lots of deadlines, complex projects, and a whole load of different tools. So we really do rely on good systems to make sure everything flows smoothly.
So first, let's get into some definitions, because while they're similar, workflow and processes aren't exactly the same. I actually did a bit of Googling and managed to confuse myself no end, but I found these definitions. So workflow is a series of repeatable activities that you need to carry out to finish a task. This generally has a focus on technologies and tools that enable info and tasks to flow between people and departments. On the other hand, a process is a set of repeatable activities and tasks as well, ordered in a logical way with cause and effect relations between them. And they need to be carried out to accomplish an organizational goal, which is generally to deliver a product, a service, information, decision, or some other output to an internal or external customer. Which is all to sum it up and say that they're both about repeating activities, ticking off tasks, and accomplishing goals, basically.
So let's talk about some of the key processes that we have in our business that enable us to deliver projects to our clients, and the tools that we use to make that process as smooth as possible. So first we'll talk about marketing. We've got the website and branding, which we've already talked about quite extensively, how we set all that up in some previous episodes. So we won't go into detail here, but you're welcome to go and listen to those episodes. And then we've got this podcast for ongoing content each week. So we'll go through the process of how we get this podcast out there. Angela writes dot points in a shared Google Doc for what we want to talk about. We record the episode. We sit down and record it using Adobe Audition. Then I edit the episode, add the intro and outro, and, you know, cut out all the mistakes and horrible things. Then Ange writes the show notes based off the dot points, just like a rough blog. Then she writes the email and the social media posts. Then I create the graphics for the podcast and the social media posts. And then we make the podcast live Tuesday evening just to make sure that it gets out to all the podcast players before we promote it on Wednesday. Then we schedule and share the email and the social media posts via SocialBee later in the week.
And sometimes it's not Wednesday, though.
Yeah, sometimes it's Thursday or Friday. Depends how things are going.
Hopefully, Wednesday is something to aim for.
Yeah. Plus, every second social media post, usually earlier in the week, on Instagram, I think we're talking about here, is usually something more personal, like telling a story or something like that. And Angela is very good at that.
Thank you. I also love that you haven't noticed that I've been posting it on the other channels too.
Well, look, I feel like the main reason you do it on Instagram is to have that pretty like alternating
effect. It's true,
effect.
I do. We've got like a graphic and we've got like an image.
Yeah.
It's pretty lame, but anyway, it's keeping me going, so... So let's talk a bit about that. Actually sums up all our marketing processes at the moment. So as you can see, it's super, super straightforward, keeping it simple. because, you know, we have our own separate brands as well. We don't want to over invest our time in the marketing for the digital brew, at least not just yet. But it's working for us, so we'll keep it rolling. So let's talk about our sales processes. So with sales, someone generally inquires because they've been referred us or they've found us via our marketing. So the first thing we do is we usually get an email with the inquiry, and then we chat on the phone or we email back and forth depending on the client. Some people like phone, some people like email. I get that. I personally prefer email and do not like the phone, but you know, we all have to adapt. and then, usually depending on the project, but usually we'll request them to fill out a client application form. And that's in a Google survey or a Google Doc. The doc is for if multiple people need to collaborate, the survey if it's just one person. So then we review that application form and we see if they're a fit for our services. And then if they are a fit, we drop a Google Doc with goals, recommendations, and a quote. And that includes all the inclusions and pricing, and then next steps and availability. So it's sort of like a mini customized sales document, but not quite a proposal. At this point, we might email back and forth or do a phone call. There could be some negotiation around the inclusions, either because they look at what we've recommended and go, oh, no, actually, that's not what we want. We want something else. Or, that's not quite in our budget. What can we prioritize? And so we sort of fiddle around if we need to until everybody's happy. Sometimes there'll be things that we say, let's do that in phase two, just so they can get something out there a bit more quickly and stay on budget. But yeah, sometimes it all just goes ahead without any negotiation, which is nice too. And yeah, once they're happy to move ahead, that's when we put all the content from that sales document into our proper proposal software, which is Nusi. I'll put a link in the show notes. And then we send that via email. Then, you know, obviously the client has already seen pretty much all of that content, so they can skim through the proposal pretty quickly. But most importantly, it's got our terms and conditions on the bottom of it, which they haven't seen yet because I'm actually being very deliberate about that. I don't want them to get overwhelmed with information all at once. I want them to think about the project itself without getting hit with a whole wall of text. And then by the time they've decided to review the project, then the terms and conditions are really just details and pretty obvious stuff for the most part. So it's not as scary at that point. And then if they're happy with everything, they simply click the accept button. After that, there's another button to pay the deposit through Stripe, and we officially book them into our schedule.
Then we've got client onboarding. So we send a really happy welcome email as soon as possible after the proposal has been accepted and the payment has been made.
And that's actually just me doing that because I'm very much the point of contact for clients, yeah. And Stu's more of the behind the scenes guy. Like, I don't hide them away in a cupboard or anything, but
thanks.
And people can talk to him if they want to, but for the most part, all the client inquiries come through me and all the communication comes through me. So yeah, it's all coming from me.
You'll be much happier having spoken to Angela if you ever get the opportunity to speak to me.
Yeah, so. Listen to this guy.
Just appreciate.
And then we add our new client to our Slack channel. So we have a Slack organization, I think it's called, that's set up for the digital brew. And within that, we create private channels for each client. So we add the client to their channel, and that's dedicated to all the information and discussions about the project and brand. So we send an invite link via Slack. And once they're in there, we try to stay out of email because that can really clutter up the inbox. It can be really hard to find information. And sometimes you just have a really quick question or something you want to share and you don't want to go through the whole, hi, so-and-so, how are you? Blah, 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 sincerely me. Like, it's just, it's not necessary. In Slack, you can just get straight to the point and there's none of that, which is nice. So another thing we do is we add them to the client portal, which is basically a Trello board. And we duplicate our template version, which is all set up and ready to go, and we just tailor it to the client.
Yeah, so this is designed to outline our process really transparently for the clients. We also have the process outlined on our website and also the proposals that we send out, so we're not hiding anything.
Yeah, so we also have that process. It's all outlined in our website, on the package page, and it's also on our proposals. So, you know, by then the clients are already kind of familiar with it, but this Trello board really outlines the steps within that process. So it's all super transparent.
So the lists that we have on Trello are getting started. Then we have stage one, which is planning. Stage two, content creation. Stage three, design. Stage four, launch. And then after that, we have just ongoing management. So managing the website after it's been launched. So under each of those lists, we have a whole bunch of cards, and they include tasks for us and for the client. They also include stuff like links to resources, and just other important information related to that specific project. Each of the cards is color-coded. We use the label feature in Trello. So the labels we've got in Trello are completed, in progress, awaiting client input, and also a label for cards that are only for reference. They just have information in them, and stuff that's not ready to get started yet. Clients can also comment on there and add info to the cards if they like. But for the most part, they'll just collaborate with us via Slack.
So basically, we're using Trello a bit differently to how you would normally use it. I mean, Trello is designed to be a project management system, I think. And the Kanban board is usually used for dragging cards through some kind of process. So usually there's backlog or, you know, tasks to be done. There's doing and then there's done. So we're not using it like that at all. We don't move the cards around between lists, although you can do it like that if you want to, and it's quite fun to do that, quite satisfying. We're more just using it as an information hub for our clients. It's got all our client-facing processes to be really transparent so they know what we're up to and what's coming next. And we really just rely on those labels to, I guess, color code things and make sure that we're not just looking at this whole wall of tasks. The colors show us what tasks are current and what tasks are still to be done, what tasks are completed. So it's not overwhelming or anything. We can still see the progress, which is handy. And in the past, when we didn't have this sort of system in place, like a client portal, this is going back years ago, when we used to do copy and design projects together, we found that if they didn't have this, clients wouldn't feel as confident or comfortable with the process. We might actually spend a lot more time emailing them with updates or answering their questions, or we might get phone calls like, "So, how's it going?" Not great when you get phone calls like that from clients. So ideally, you want to be really transparent and communicate what's happening at all times and make sure they can see that you're making progress, because I don't know about your business, but with us, there can be a lot of things happening behind the scenes that the client can't see and maybe doesn't understand, that take up a lot of time. And it's only in maybe the last week or so of the project that everything sort of hits them and like, oh, wow, look at all this that they've been doing. So this process helps them see that we are doing stuff and making progress, and that, you know, the copy they're waiting on or the design they're waiting on is coming up soon. So another client onboarding process that we use, it's very important, is we send a detailed briefing survey. This is a really epic document. It literally takes hours to fill out. Sorry, clients, but it does capture a lot of valuable info for the copy and design project. So super important.
It is very fantastic.
It is, actually. We've been going through one this week together that a client has gone to great efforts to fill out in great detail. And it's just been amazing to see what they are thinking about the project. We don't have to guess, and it means that we can do a much better job. Super exciting. So we could talk a bit about behind the scenes tools, but we don't really want to go into great detail about that because we've already talked about our design and copywriting processes in previous episodes. So we might just touch on a few of the tools that we use to manage our internal processes and workflows. First of all, Asana. So all the tasks that aren't client facing, the stuff that's just for us, they all go in there. We have an organization set up for the digital brew, and under that we have teams, and under each team we have projects. So this hierarchy, it really helps keep everything organized, even though we're pretty much just a two-person team at this stage. So within Asana, we've got teams set up for launches. and that's any projects relating to new products or services. There's a sales team, which includes a project called Pipeline, and that's just a Kanban style board where we add new leads in as a card and then drag them along as they progress through the pipeline. Sounds very exciting, doesn't it? And then once they become a client, I convert the card to a project in Asana, which sounds really quite confusing as well, but it's an option there. You can convert cards into projects. And then they fall under a different team, which is delivery. And that's where we have all our client work. So we have an example project process, which is a template that we can just copy and paste from when we have a new client. And then all of our clients have an individual project under the delivery team. We've also got a team for internal work, which includes a project for ideas where we can just kind of brain dump. And then there's an admin or finance project. You could potentially split these two up depending on your business, but for us at the moment, we can keep them together. And finally, there is a marketing team, of course. So we've got the podcast, the website, and the socials, all those projects in there. So I really like Asana. I know not everybody does, but I think it's really good because of the hierarchy. There's a lot of options in how you can nest tasks within tasks and tasks within what are they called? Titles or sections or something. And then within that, you've got the project and then you've got the teams and organization. So there's so many different layers of how you can organize the information and nest it within other things. The layout just really works for my brain. At first, it's a bit annoying. It's a bit of a learning curve. I just really like how they sort the information out. And it's free for us at the moment until you grow beyond the limits. Another feature that I really like is the recurring tasks or due date option, which makes managing a workflow a lot easier for stuff that has to happen over and over again. We've actually tried a few other tools. We've tried ClickUp. Obviously, we do use Trello, but not for our internal stuff. I think I've played with Basecamp recently. Anyway, we also recently bought a lifetime deal for Freedcamp, which it has really awesome features, but we haven't quite got used to the UX yet, so we might switch over at some point. We'll see, hopefully.
So this was just a snapshot of our processes and workflows. There's a lot more, but these are just some of the key ones, and hopefully some of the most relevant ones for other service-based businesses and creatives. So we're happy to answer any questions about any of these or anything we haven't mentioned, so please feel free to jump over to thedigitalbrew.com. And you can leave a comment on this podcast. It'll have show notes and links, and we can reply to you there. Or you can send an email to angela@thedigitalbrew.com because you probably won't get a response from me.
Don't email Steve.
And just a few more thoughts. Don't get too hasty with your tools or obsess over finding the right tool for your workflows. Just get it all written out on paper first. Do it manually for a little while, and then you'll know what processes and workflows you need to create a good client experience and make things happen smoothly behind the scenes before you try and make it fit into a tool. And another thing, look for ways to make your client's experience good. That should be your key focus, client facing. So we put a lot of work into setting up our client portal on Trello, including pretty graphics and lots of little bits of copy and even videos to explain different things. And it's just a part of creating a premium service. Then you can adapt your backend processes to fit around that. Also, sometimes you'll find a tool that's like 80% of what you need, and that's actually pretty good. You'll probably never find something that's 100% unless you can build it yourself, unfortunately. So just do the best with the tools that you can find, and there's a lot of really good free ones out there too. And just be willing to work with their limitations.
All right, that's it. Our next podcast is about launching a new brand for the first time. So if you're in that boat, make sure you tune in for that one. Should be a good one.
We'll see you there.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Digital Brew with Ange and Stu.
Make sure you head over to thedigitalbrew.com for more episodes, detailed show notes, resources, and our newsletter.
And if you feel like this episode has helped you make your business more awesome, pop us a review.
We'll catch you next time.